This is an MUT Radio podcast.
We have an exciting interview this morning with Paul Hussey.
Definitely.
So excited.
Definitely, man. Just a little bit more about Paul Hussey. Career goes back as far as 1989, when he was the tape operation to sound engineer Lapayan, and then moved on to be an in-house producer for UB40's Oraka Besa Studio, producing albums and tracks for UB40 as well. And then he was also in a band titled Four, F-O-U-R, signed to Virgin EMI. And also continued the career yake in Kingston, Jamaica, as an in-house engineer, working with all the Wailers, Maxi Priest, Soul to Soul, Mali Brothers, UB40, Dave Stewart, Shabba Ranks, Third World, Garnet Silk, Don Penn, and many more as well. Also went to London again around the 2000s to also work or be the co-owner of the reggae or world music record label Jambila Music, produced and released several albums, singles on CD, vinyl, and digital as well. La Payanage, we also counting or Kate Nash, The Friendly Fires, and more as well. And then lastly, from June 2012 to 2014, he was living here in South Africa as the owner of Jambila Studio, doing mixing, mastering, and production, also at Headroom Studios, Durban. And ama clients included Afrotainment, Madala Gunene, 745 Records, Naima K, Steve Newman, and many more as well. And who's also produced and mixed live Gazahara, Unaimake, Ukai, Pateri, Mbuso Koza, and more artists. So we are chatting to a very seasoned sound engineer over there who's done great work. I think we know quite a number of artists here. UB40, Zahara, Unaimake, you know, Soul to Soul. If you're a fan of reggae, obviously you know the Mali Brothers as well, the Wailers, Maxi Priest, Yabonanje, Baningi Ngempela. So we're going to go straight to Paul Hussey, who is on the line. Good morning, Mr. Paul. I'm not sure if it's morning that side.
It is, yes, morning. We're 1 hour behind. Yeah, greetings.
Oh.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Definitely.
Thank
lovely
you.
To have you. So I just like us to first, you know, begin on your music journey in the industry. You know, it has taken you various places around the world, including South Africa, you know, Jamaica, London, you know, and more places. How have these diverse experiences actually shaped your musical style and approach to e-production?
Well, for me, I was born in the UK, grew up in the UK, and as a young sound engineer, I had already been working in studios in London.
Oh yeah.
And then I went to Jamaica for a holiday, and I stayed for 9 years. Because to me, growing up in London, reggae, I grew up around reggae music. That was the great music, you know. I loved reggae as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, being mixed race myself, you know, my father is a Zimbabwean, you know, Zimbabwean coloured, and my mother is English. So, but I was born here in the UK. So for me, it was a great pilgrimage to go to Jamaica and, work with some of the legends who were to me. And, you know, I've always loved reggae music so much, you know, and I lived there for 9 years. That was the greatest experience for me, you know, to work in some of these studios, you know. And at that time in the 90s, The best Jamaican studio at that time would have been a lower mid-market recording studio in the UK. But the sound coming out of Jamaica was just so immense and massive. You know, the great sound engineers and producers in Jamaica were able to get that sound out of, you know, not the greatest equipment. So, you know, that was a great experience for me to go and learn all of that,
Definitely. Now, you're speaking also of, you know, working with various artists, a wide range of artists, actually, who are reggae legends, you know, contemporary musicians like Zahara and Naima K here in South Africa, who are also very good in their own spheres. And it's kind of like different genres, you know, as well. And I just would like to know, what was like your most enjoyable moment from all of these working experiences? What did you like the most about working with these various artists and producing their music?
Well, the diversity, you know, because I've worked in studios, I've worked live shows, I've done mastering and recording and mixing, so I've been quite diverse in it all. And you know, just oftentimes you get opened up to new music that you might not necessarily be listening to yourself, you know, but because you're working with those musicians, you learn about new music. So that's, you know, there's a lot of like guitar based music, and you know, I mean, South Africa is such a great place musically. It's that, you know, music is just in all the people, in the culture. It's just, you know, singing everywhere. It's just such a beautiful culture, you know, and the music is so powerful, you know, and you know, it's starting to get much more recognition around the world. You know, Ama Piano is very big over here.
Definitely. Definitely. I was about to ask you, actually, Uguti, what do you think about the current music landscape that is going on in the world, comparing to where you come from in the 90s?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm getting a bit older now, so, you know, I'm not altogether up to date with everything that's going on with the, you know, and I think it's great that new things are coming about all the time, you know, and there's lots of, you know, I think the culture is very vibrant. There's lots of new styles. Not all of it is my cup of tea, but I respect the fact that, you know, young people have to create new styles. And I think that is only a good thing. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Now, while you were here in South Africa, and speaking of being old, actually, while you were here in South Africa, something tragic happened to you and you were diagnosed with cancer. Can you just take us a bit through that experience and what it meant for you and how it was like?
Yeah, well, I mean, I moved to Durban in 2012 with my family. But by then, by 2014, I got so sick. I was just organizing myself. So I ended up at Addington Hospital.
Yeah.
They couldn't diagnose me properly. And I was just getting more and more sicker. And I eventually had kidney failure. And they couldn't give me the right kind of dialysis at Addington at that time to kickstart my kidneys. And I had end-stage cachexia. So at the last minute, I got transferred to St. Augustine's Hospital there in Durban.
Yeah.
And they diagnosed me now with stage 4B lymphoma, which is blood cancer. And they stabilized me enough to get transferred back to England, where I stayed in hospital for a long time in England, receiving treatment and everything else. That was in 2014. You know, but when I was leaving Durban, I was in a wheelchair in the airport. It was the day after Comrades, you know, and the airport was full of Comrades athletes.
Oh yeah,
looking healthy and fit, yeah, their medals on. I said, I'm gonna come back and run Comrades. And
wow.
So yeah, finally this year now, 2023, 9 years later, it's taken me that long. I've just came with there in Durban and ran Comrades and got my medal.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The Comrades Marathon is a very difficult race to prepare. Well, marathon to prepare for. And I think only the really disciplined and the determined get to get through it. Can you tell us a little bit about your process of preparing for the Comrades Marathon and kind of your motive behind wanting to run that marathon?
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, I mean, I think for me, in a way, when I had the cancer and when I was ill in Addington Hospital there and just feeling so much pain day after day without any diagnosis in the hospital bed, to me, that was the preparation there for Comrades, because, you know, it's just like just enduring, withstanding. We as humans, sometimes we need to push to our edges, to the levels, you know, to find out where our levels are. Where is the edge? How far can I go? I don't know. Life, you know, life pushed me there. life pushed me there and I found out something new. So when I, you know, came to do Comrades, I did the physical training, running. That was a big part of my recovery. Mentally, mentally, I am able to endure and withstand. So Comrades, I was surprised that I finished fairly strong and I didn't feel like I had to go to my very edges, not nearly as much as I did when I had the cancer.
Ooh.
That took me right to my edges. But I will just say, when I ran Comrades Now, I also held a fundraising campaign on Just Giving, and I raised about 54,000 rand to buy a dialysis machine for Addington, which I'm purchasing and going to deliver to Addington, have delivered to Addington.
Sure.
Which was the machine that would have given me, kickstarted my kidneys. So I'm hoping that somebody in that same situation with me, it can help them, you know. And there are people who have acute kidney failure.
Mm.
This machine can help them.
Wow, definitely. That's very beautiful. What a beautiful story and an experience that you're sharing with us. I think maybe from just this experience and being able to run the Comrades Marathon up to finish, after recovering from cancer, what would you say is maybe your learning curve through all of this, all of these events and like a learning experience that you would like to share with us and the listener?
Well, I mean, for me, I think that I was taken to the very edge of life and death.
Mm.
I accepted the fact at some point that I realized that the process I was going, this is back in 2014, the process I was going through was the process of dying.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this is like a taboo subject in our society. Nobody likes to talk about this.
Mm.
Particular thing that is definitely 100% going to happen to every single one of us.
Yeah.
Nobody gets out alive. But the opportunity I had to face my own and look my own death in the eye, you know, it's really made me see life in a different way, you know, and I've lost all fear for that now.
That's beautiful.
I had some experiences in a different reality at that time as I was getting closer to the end, you know. So it showed me that, definitely, this is the secondary reality. There is a primary reality. I've had a different taste of that reality. So it's left me feeling, you know, just really no matter what hardships happen in life, we can just overcome, you know, we can always learn and grow from them. Always the opportunity, even in the biggest disaster, is the seed of something really great.
Wow, that's
and every great thing is the seed of a disaster as well. If you don't know,
yeah.
So you know this knowledge, you know the wisdom and knowledge. I wouldn't take it back. I'm really so grateful, you know, to that life has given me these opportunities, and even all of the difficulties and hardships. Now I see them as blessings.
Yes.
Mm, okay.
Eventual blessing.
Yeah, I know. That's beautiful. And I know you've touched on, you know, raising funds to actually donate to the dialysis machine in Addington. I think that's also like great work that you've done as well. And maybe a last question from my side. Your life has been really music based, at least in the first reality. I'm going to put it like that. Now, in the second reality, are you still into music? Are you still doing music? In what form?
Well, I've kind of called off doing a lot of the engineering and producing now and mixing for people. So I'm not really doing that anymore. Because now I'm playing, I like to play music myself now, and I'm playing a flute, a front-blown bamboo flute, Chinese flute, which is very beautiful sound used in meditation and that. So I'm pursuing, you know, and you can find some things about me. If you want to listen to some of my music, I have an album out. My artist name is Pablo Hussey, and my album is called The Breath of Life, and that is me playing that flute on Roots Reggae. So anybody who likes Roots Reggae, check it out. It's on Spotify, anywhere you can see it on YouTube. Pablo Hussey, The Breath of Life. That was my album I released this year of my new flute thing. So that's mostly what I'm doing now. And And I also work for as a day job, I work for a company that we digitize all tapes, all different types of tapes, analog tapes, 2-inch tapes, one-inch tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Everything used to be recorded on tapes back in the day, because I have all of that knowledge from a sound engineer going way back.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so. that is so profound. Thank you so much, Paul Hasi. Breath of Life is actually quite fitting because you're giving breath of life to so many lives here in South Africa.
Yeah.
And we highly, highly, highly appreciate it. Thank you so, so, so much. Yeah, you're amazing. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for letting me talk on your program.
Thank you so much, man. All the best.
Yes, yeah, same to you and all your listeners.
Thank you.
One love. Take care.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.